two of those girls walked up and they wanted to take a picture or whatever, and I suspected they were working, essentially, you know, wanting money.
I guess so, yeah.
I basically told them I didn't want to pay for a picture, that I wasn't going to. For some reason, they liked me, or Carrie won. Who do you think it was they liked before I go any further?
They probably liked the idea of both you guys together and want to get a little freaky deaky with you. Anyway, continue.
So they parked it right there. They talked to us for like 20 minutes. They didn't worry about everybody walking by. They just got interested in what we had to say.
Well, what were you guys talking about?
I really don't remember.
One of those conversations. Got it.
They told me that blackjack was a scam, that, you know, just don't do it. But man, I can't remember what we talked about, though. But they parked it. They got in one of those little semicircle coves that almost goes out above the water. You know what I'm talking about.
I believe so, yeah.
And they just leaned against it and just chatted forever.
Yeah.
I don't know that we got a picture, but I kind of think we did get one for free, Todd.
Do you have it anywhere?
The thing is, that was a lot of phones ago.
That was before it just came easy to, you know, shift everything over.
Well, now it transfers all your files. I think I got a picture of Carrie with them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty dang sure for free.
Freaky deaky. I'm telling you, freaky deaky.
At some point, they were like, all right, we got to get out of here. You want a picture or what?
Yeah.
Carrie did Vegas right. I did Vegas wrong at the time.
How so? What did she do as opposed to you?
I gambled, and she did all the little freebies. I mean, obviously, I did some of those. We went out of town to Zion. That was cool. I did that right.
Yeah.
There's a few things I did right, but like when we went to Fremont Street, she was getting in all the extras that the casinos had. Like, she got her picture taken with $1 million of cash.
Which I was happy enough to loan the casino.
That's where that was at the Golden Nugget, I believe.
Yeah, that's where the Griswolds took their family vacation, if you remember, in 97.
Did you see the Golden Nugget while you were out there?
Not the last time, I just recently got back from Vegas, guys. But the time before that, I spent a lot of time on Fremont Street. This past time, I didn't even bother, because to tell you the truth, if you're not into drinking and partying, there's really not much for you to do there. The casinos there are generally the same as the casinos on the Strip when it comes to, you know, what they offer.
Well, I basically agree, and I didn't mean to give this long of an intro on Vegas, but but the Golden Nugget, do you know how that was discovered?
No, I don't actually.
A guy was literally in his backyard with a metal detector and found it like 12 inches from the surface.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest singular solid piece of gold ever found, or the second biggest.
Okay.
It's the biggest one they haven't melted down.
So, in other words, this guy's an instant millionaire.
Yeah, I think he was in Australia, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how eventually they purchased it, you know, there at the casino. But they have it on display. It's not hard to see. It's through really thick glass.
Yeah, well, I imagine it's pretty f-ing valuable, so they're going to keep it under wraps like Fort Knox.
But some guy found it with a metal detector in his backyard.
That's awesome.
And he did get a pretty good payday from it. It was 19, I'm going to guess, but I think it was around 1983. I think he sold it for $1.5 million, which at the time was retirement.
Yeah. The retirement probably twice over. In today's economy, that would be roughly what?
If you can retire on $1.5 million right now at a young age.
I hope you have good health.
You're going to have some perspective as to how to stretch it and how to leverage it. And a lot of people think they have that perspective, but until you've had a couple big lump sums of money and blew them like I have, I don't know if you would have that perspective.
I wouldn't. Even if I could, I don't think I'd retire before 50, just because, you know, those are still your best physical years, statistically speaking.
You want to work, but at that point you have more options.
Yeah. More leverage. That's true. That's kind of what I feel like I got right now with my job. Now that I don't have a mortgage, it's like, okay, I still need a job. I still need that constant flow of money, but I don't need this job or that, you know, a specific paying job.
Well, if I was to get a windfall, you know, like that, I would build rental houses. I priced out a house build, and this was including driveway, utilities. I'm talking about R37 insulation on the walls, not the ceiling, but
not that cheap, like, R36 bullshit.
Well, code is 10, and most people do 13, but at least code here. But I priced it out really nice, building it myself. It came out to 180. But that included TVs and sofa and everything, the way I figured it.
Yeah, so, your furnishings.
And you can actually build one pretty cheap if you can build a house.
I had an opportunity about 15 or so years ago to buy my grandparents' house across the street from where I live right now. And at the time, it went for a steal. I could have gotten it for probably around 115. And if I held on to it for 10 years, I could have sold it for easily 350. But it's the caveat of that is, at the time, it went through a new roof. So there was, what, 20 grand right there dropped on it. It needed a new bathroom because the floor was caving in at the time. It's like, yeah, I would have shelled out at the time, but if I'd known the economy would have taken a COVID turn in the housing market, oh shit, that would have been...
We all could have done better with that hindsight. My cousin was going to sell me his house for $125,000. It's like everything else. It's going to go close to $350,000 right now and stuff like that. I mean, you miss out, but I had limited money to work with. I had that cash at the time. I spent it over here.
Well, my uncle wanted me, thought it'd be a good idea to buy the house, but use it as a rental property since I didn't necessarily need the space. But I'm just like, I never wanted to be a landlord. Plus the work and money that would go into the house and keeping it up and stuff. That's not a responsibility I wanted to, you know.
Landlord is definitely more of a pain than you would realize until you've tried it.
Really?
I would say. And you could get lucky, but.
If I was more of a handyman by nature, I would be more open to it, but I'm the type of person that calls on a handyman. I would be basically a middleman for this rental property to keep it, you know, up to a certain standard. And God, I don't even know what it would be like during COVID having a rental property like that when supposedly renters, you know, had more rights and couldn't, you know, they were allowed to not pay for a while. It's like, okay, what kind of bind would that put you in? Like, that's when things get a little glitchy.
Takes money to make money, but one thing that's held me back is I haven't been as aggressive as I could be. A lot of people would say, okay, you got something with some equity right now. You may not really have money. Get an equity loan and build that next house that way. And that's what I hate to do. Put everything on the line and gain a loan. I just don't like taking on the debt.
See, that's my plan. I want to get out of debt. I'm less than 12 grand on my car. Then after that, done.
Well, once I get the monkey off my back, to just put it back on my back saying, well, this will work out because this house I'm going to build is going to rent and it's going to appreciate and all that. Yeah, I get it, but I don't sleep as well at night. I just don't like taking on debt that I've already shed. I just hate doing it.
And so, plus, no matter what risk it is, it's that risk that gives you that anxiety because you have a good plan, but there's no guarantee it'll pan out, too. And that's a lot of money to lose if something doesn't pan out like it should.
Yeah, full disclosure, I'm looking for my next 200K. I've made it before. I've made it a couple times, but I never had a good job. Things just really had to work well. So we'll see. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm okay with that, too. But
how do we go from Vegas to the housing market again?
Ain't no telling.
Okay. I just realized, like, wow, we took a left turn somewhere in there. I'm not exactly sure where. I feel like Bugs Bunny.
I have a follower highlight.
Ooh.
Tammy Williams says, sometimes even the strongest people break. I've had a bad back for 10 years that needed surgery. It was offered to me, and the three surgeons I worked with were like, don't do it. So I didn't do it.
Don't. It's bad.
And I've needed it the whole time. And getting back to where that's even been offered to me has been hell. So, yeah, I'm a pretty strong person. But what I deal with would break people so quick. And in a lot of ways, it's broken me. It's really taken a toll. So needing help, you're hopeless. And you're a dude. No one cares about a guy. You ain't getting any sympathy.
Unless you're rich. Unless you're rich. And I'm not saying you're guaranteed sympathy with riches, but you'll definitely get better treatment and, you know, more attention.
So, I mean, it's whatever value you can bring as a guy. Nobody gives a flying fuck about you. And in some cases, your family doesn't care. In a lot of cases, your employer doesn't care. In a lot of cases, random people. Like,
it's just one of these things where if people aren't obligated, they more than likely won't do it.
Oh, no. And me personally, I fell into that basket where, yeah, nobody gave a fuck. I look too healthy for one, but I'm saying, hey, man down, I need help. And it's one of those things where you can't just dig deep and overcome it on your own. Like, okay, I'll do it on my own. I don't need anyone else's help.
I know what you need. You need bootstraps and pull yourself up by them. That's what you need, buddy.
So, yeah, I've been pushed beyond what I can handle, pretty far beyond what I can handle, and it's just been too many years back to back of needing help.
No pun intended.
And not getting it. that it's taken a massive toll. And I'd already easily be retired if I hadn't been dealing with that. But anyway, I did schedule finally a fusion surgery coming up. I'd rather a disc replacement. I had one replaced in my neck, but my insurance thinks it's experimental to do that in your lumbar. So,
well, one day Robert will walk again. We are certain of that. We believe it. That's what we're fighting for. If you could help us support our dream, go to helprobertwalkagain.org and help us with your donation. Sponsored by Robin Todd. Robin Todd.
I got a
nerve. Not affiliated with any charity.
I got a nerve conduction study, and they're like, that left leg shouldn't, according to these readings, shouldn't be working that good. And I'm like,
well, not that leg. Maybe the other one, but not that guy. Nah.
They said, you ought to at least have a foot drop. I don't have a foot drop.
Wait, what does that mean? What's a foot drop?
Well, then your like peroneal nerve is just done, so the muscles don't hold your foot up. Your foot drags when you walk.
The peroneal nerve.
Right? Yeah, when you're walking, it drags.
Yeah. Oh, okay, kind of like an Igor situation.
Like the MRI shows that it's that, you know, my nerve exiting my spine's really squished.
Yeah.
And the surgeon didn't want to cut it back. He didn't want to do the microdiscectomy because when I lean back, the two levels like slip on each other. And he's like, ain't nothing we can do but fuse. That's the only thing I would even offer you, which I'm cool with it. I'd like to do it today, but I got to wait a few months. But now, I guess I have weakness, but I used to be an athlete and shit, and I mean, you wouldn't know I'm weak. You've been to the gym with me. I mean,
yeah.
I can't do squats and things like that I would like to do because of my back, but
I mean, you do all right considering. Hell, you work out harder than probably half the people there who just kind of show up to, I don't know, from what I can tell, waste my time by me waiting on them to finish their text.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's only one pec deck in the whole place. I wish people were a little bit more considerate. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Courtney Ann says, y'all using Ozempic for weight loss need to stand in line. Some people actually need it for the betus. Diabetes.
Diabetes? Hey, what a great way to kind of belittle a genetic disorder. Or, you know, for some people, just because they can't stop eating sweets.
Well, there's such a rush to get that Ozempic for weight loss that it probably has affected the supply and demand.
Oh, yeah.
To where people that need it for diabetes are having a hard time. Have you heard buzz around that? Because I've heard more than I wanted to hear.
I've heard some, but it reminds me, and this happens every so often, where vanity will always be put at a higher priority than actual health. I think people would want that drug more for the weight loss benefits than the actual regulation of their diabetes, to be honest with you. That's just the way people are, majority of people.
Well, I ran into a whole family that's on it, and when the grandpa said he took it, that actually blew my mind just a little bit. I wasn't expecting it.
Okay, well, how fat is that family where everyone has to be on it?
Not bad enough that they need to take it.
Well, why would a doctor prescribe it then?
I'm not sure.
That just seems so odd.
It is interesting to me. Some of the things you need the most help with, the quickest, and you got to have in healthcare, you can't get.
I was about to say, if it were a painkiller, they'd make you suffer the way they regulate those now.
But something like this, I think there's ways. I'm not sure the avenues you have to go through, but it becomes popular enough that there's a doctor out there that's like, okay, I'm going to be the guy.
I'm going to be that guy. Dr. Weight Loss. Hey, it's not a bad pitch. Maybe they're onto something.
Well,
I like how diet and exercise also takes a backseat easily. Like, oh, those aren't even considered or tried.
Well, we could have talked a lot more about Vegas, and you might get a chance here in a minute, but let's take a little break. First of all, I scored over 300,000 points on a round of Tetris. Look at this.
Scored. Nice. Yeah. You didn't have to take a picture. I would have believed you. I don't think that's something that you would lie about as an adult male. I'm not giving you sympathy, Robert, if that's what you're looking for, you white, adult, middle-class male. It's not popular to give you sympathy. I only give my false platitudes to people who deserve it.
Louisiana governor issues disaster declaration for crawfish shortage.
A disaster declaration? Why? Okay, why is there a crawfish shortage, I wonder? It's like, are they overfished or something?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's not really a disaster. That's more of like, hey, stop doing what you're doing.
Well, it might be a part of their economy. And they're a big part, and therefore it is an issue.
I don't know. It just seems like it's self-inflicted. A disaster to me sounds like something that happened to you through no fault of your own, where you're actually a victim. Shouldn't have overfished. That's my solution. Learn better next time.
We always cover death, but here's the unique one. This is like 1,000 ways to die.
We're going to cover a birth? You going to do something different? Nope. Okay. On with the death.
At least 5 are dead.
Yes! At least 5. Who had 5?
After parachute for airdropped aid in Gaza fails to open.
So in other words, they just literally fell from a plane.
No, the crate of food
that was coming to feed them. Right, just fell on the ground, just obliterated, I imagine. Like, God, that's the last time we buy these things from Acme. We need to get that customer service number and see what the fuck is up, because they wily coyoted us here. The same thing with that catapult that just went backwards and didn't catapult me forwards.
If you could imagine that thing coming to help you from the sky and landing on you.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Shouldn't the parachute be dropping, opening about now? No. They know what they're doing. It is coming in kind of quick. I didn't know they came in this quick. I don't think they're supposed to come in this quick.
Probably came apart. It was going so quick, and the different bags of flour kind of spread out.
Would they give them flour, though? That sounds like, okay, do they even have kitchens to bake?
Well, I'm not sure what's in there, but it's heavy.
Okay. I imagine it's a lot of, I don't know, like stuff you just put water in and mix. I guess I'm wrong. I don't know.
This is a throwback to last episode. You and Graham were talking about the WWE as a business.
Yeah, me and Graham Cracker.
The WWE sells a ring mat sponsorship for the first time.
Yeah, it's like UFC, the Octagon, the way they sell floor space.
They're going to have a print of the company that's bought it, which was
Fleshlight.
Logan Paul's Prime Sports.
That guy is new to me, and already I'm tired of him. Okay, I just hope Mike Tyson whips his ass, because that's what everyone wants. I think even he does.
Well, there's two of those Pauls. It's Logan and...
Oh, yeah, his brother. His brother is the one fighting Mike Tyson. Jake.
Okay. Yeah, Jake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can still hit as hard as you used to be able to?
We're going to see. And you don't bring your age to the table. You bring your energy to the table. You don't go meet people, hey, I'm Bob, I'm 59. It's going to be entertaining. You know, because I'm a fighter, he's a fighter. And of course, you know, we're in there throwing punches. And during that process, anything can happen.
How do you see the fight going? What's your prediction? Do you have a prediction? Do you think I can knock him out in the first round or the 8th round?
I'm just going to just go right at him as soon as the bell. We're just going to see what happens.
Well, anyway, Logan is tied in with Prime Sports Drink.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And they've bought the mat.
All right, well, good for them. I hope they enjoy that.
But the WWE does have ways to make money.
Oh, yeah. It's like NASCAR. It's okay for them to sell out. It's what people expect at this point. So I'm honestly surprised they haven't done this sooner. It seems like with UFC doing it, they would follow in suit just as easily.
Tammy Miller Phillips says that people who can't communicate think everything is an argument. I agree.
Yeah, they get defensive. The moment you ask a question about anything, like, oh, I'm not allowed to question that or even ask one out of curiosity. No, I've met people like that. It's very annoying.
Nikki Lanning says, we're arguing and he started making sense. What do I do now?
Claim you have a headache, go lie down, take a nap. When he wakes up, be a little sweet on him. And it's like it never happened. It's better than the neuralizer on Men in Black. I guarantee it.
Oh, man. Be on the lookout this summer. Parts of the United States are about to experience a rare natural phenomenon with
summer.
The simultaneous emergence of two enormous adjacent broods of periodical cicadas. More than a trillion of these noisy bugs are set to pop out of the ground starting late in April. So that's pretty soon.
You heard it first, ladies and gentlemen. Facts straight from Robin Todd's news desk.
Goes as far as the Midwest, but also hits the Southeast to a degree. The overlapping emergence of these two broods, they called it.
Broods.
Once every 221 years.
Oh, 220 is too soon. You just need that extra one. 221, that's what we're looking for. Okay, that sounds oddly specific, but okay.
I got some trivia for you.
Oh, great.
And maybe this is as political as we'll get.
Thank God.
How old is Barron Trump?
He's still a kid, though, but he's grown up, obviously.
Because they've had him out of the spotlight for the most part.
So I would say 14.
Okay, 17.
Shit!
Which, you're probably closer than I would have been. Because the last time you saw him, he was 8 or 9.
Yeah. But that was at the beginning of Trump's presidency. But that would have, yeah, I guess that makes sense, huh? If I would have thought more on it, I would have been more in the ballpark.
What got me and what brought this up, I saw a video of him. He was pretty tall.
Yeah.
How tall do you think he is?
Honestly, I haven't seen him recently, but I mean, considering he came from Donald Trump.
I'll tell you, Trump is 6'3", so they say.
Hey, he's my height and used to be my body type in probably 11th grade. But so, yeah, I would say, I don't know, 5'10".
Okay, Barron Trump, 6'7".
Wow, the guy is going to dunk on Jordan? All right.
It's just crazy. He's walking around huge next to everybody.
Yeah, I imagine Is he lanky? He looks a little lanky.
He's pretty lanky. He's got he might have a young man step. I don't know what to call it. He walks funky.
What do you mean by young man step? I never heard of that before. It's not the Igor thing we were talking about.
It's something that an older gentleman might claim to have dispute their age. But for him, I mean, I was just throwing it out there as an alternate to funky. He's got a little bit of he lumbers around or something.
Okay.
I guess all tall guys do to a degree.
Yeah, lumber is a good word. I like that, lumbering.
Mm.
Sometimes I feel like I lumber at work. Lumber the hell out of some shit.
I think we all know TikTok might get banned again. That's something Trump tried to do. That's something Biden has already tried
to do.
Why do we care so much?
Why? Like, it's an app. And don't get me wrong, I understand the paranoia behind it, but at the same time, out of the list of things that are important in this country to take on federally, is this really the hot topic we need?
Well, I'll take a look at a part of that other people probably haven't. It's probably going to create a lot of hackers. Kids are going to find a way to get into it anyway.
Wait. As successful as the war on drugs was, I think if the federal government bans something, it's as good as gone, brother. Believe you me.
Yeah. As well as China has done with that, I don't know that they're going to want to sell it. And they may not. They may just say, "F y'all, ban us." It's popular in other countries. This ain't just a U.S. thing.
Yeah, and we don't make or break it necessarily. I mean, it's one of those things where you can do whatever you want, and maybe you can have some temporary success and, you know, kicking them low, taking them out of the knees, dead-legging them or whatever, but they'll recover because they're just too big at this point. It's like saying, I'm against Google because of whatever. I'm not going to use Google as a search engine. Well, good for you, but a lot of places and people do, and it's not just a search engine.
Okay, I know y'all are waiting for us to step it up into something peanut gallery. Here you go. In Haiti, a police officer turned gangster is trying to seize control of the country.
A police officer turned gangster? Who's he rap with?
Jimmy Charizier, the former Haitian police officer turned gangster, leading the latest violent campaign to seize control of the country, is nicknamed Barbecue.
Why is that?
Charizier insists it's because his mother operated a fried chicken stand in the slums of Port-au-Prince.
Yeah, but is that really... I guess maybe there it's barbecue. I don't know.
Like, not Barbecue King, like nothing, just barbecue.
Just barbecue. Like, I mean, I would immediately think of, oh, he likes barbecue chips. Or we call him barbecue. It's kind of like a street name.
Critics claim it's a moniker that he earned after staging multiple massacres in the nation's capital. So he puts a little more friendly spin on it.
My mom
was a chicken stand person from the slums. We were barely scraping by. I'm a person of the people. I come from...
These lyrics are dope, man. You need to put a beat on them. I'm digging it. I don't know about these other guys, but I like what you're spitting.
Anyway, apparently some people have been burned by this person. Burned alive.
Burning a dead body's not as fun or dramatic.
Some are saying that's where the barbecue thing's coming from.
Yeah, now that I could see. That I can see. And then you throw in something like, oh, he likes barbecue chips too. It just makes it seem more deranged and sociopathic.
Okay, I'm going to step it up even a notch up from that.
Whoa.
God, where the f*** did it go? Did I delete it?
Boy, now it's so far up, we lost it. Hold on here. Let me see if we can reach it. There it is. Bringing it down a notch. Still up a few notches from where we were.
I must have deleted. I was deleting every f***ing thing.
It'd been your recently deleted then.
Okay. Yeah, I've been clearing that too. So from memory, rats are getting into the police station in New Orleans.
And the rats, like actual rats, or are we talking like, you know, canaries, stool pigeons?
They're getting high on the marijuana, the evidence.
That's great. Those aren't rats. Those are just potheads. That's cute. Yeah, let's blame the rat. Look at what these rats did. God, I tell you, they're eating up all the pot. Yeah, it sounds like a good cover story. It's like the dog ate my homework. It's like, oh, the rats ate the pot. Sheriff, that's us? Take it? No. That's stupid. You know how many rats we got. It's our story and we're sticking to it.
Well, I know someone that died from rat poop out in Austin. It was a patient. Their brother passed away, and when they went to clean the house out, it like stirred it up. He died too.
Wow.
And they determined that's what it was from. And the guy was 26. So the rats can produce something that kills people. It hasn't been in the news.
Yeah.
But there's other people that have died from it too.
You know, and some cultures, poop is very valuable.
That coffee or whatever?
Yeah, well, not just that, but yeah, that. That's probably the biggest example.
Someone was talking about that the other day, saying it's the best stuff ever. I saw that online.
I still want to know the first guy who ever discovered it. What the hell were they thinking? You know, you ever wonder that? Like, who's looking at the... What kind of poop is it? Cat poop?
No, it's like lemur or something.
Okay, whatever poop it is, whatever animal it comes from. So who's looking at that like, you know, I bet you I can make some coffee out of that. It tastes damn good, too. I'm sorry, how can that be sanitary? You know what? We've gone far enough down this rabbit hole.
A cup of Kopi Luwak.
Kopi Luwak, I like the name.
That's what they're calling it. Coffee shops sell cups of brewed Kopi for $35 to
$80. Is that all? What, like in Vegas? What about like in a regular coffee shop that's in like Boise, Idaho or something?
Why is Kopi Luwak so expensive?
Why indeed?
Kopi Luwak is a unique coffee produced from beans that pass through civet mammals' digestive systems. It's expensive due to its labor-intensive collection process.
Yeah, I guess so.
And rarity.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that for cheap either.
So there's not that many people in the business.
Really? I would say no shit, but that just goes without saying.
I think they feed these little critters a coffee bean, a certain type of coffee bean, and once it digests, it comes out, then they brew it.
Yeah.
And how is that safe?
And see, that's what I'm asking. How's that sanitary? Like, it seems like the poop talk we just had about the rats and how fatal that can be, that you would have some worry with this. At the very least, a bad case of pink eye, maybe.
It's considered to be the world's most expensive coffee.
Oh, I believe that. Best, though? A lot of people tout it as the best.
Coffee beans that are partially digested and then excreted.
Mmm. So, like, corn kernels on a turd.
A civet, which is a cat-like creature. Did you say cat earlier?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's
yeah.
Cat-like.
I watched some documentary, some show on it, and it just blew my mind that people would pay for this as much as they do for this and then actually enjoy it.
Kopi Luwak can help those with migraines and other headaches. Vasoconstriction effect.
Okay, well, there's a... I'm sorry, you can get that from other things. You don't have to drink poop coffee. Don't drink the Kopi Luwak. It's got a cute name, but that's it. That's all you're getting. It's a cute name. It's shit water. That's all it is. Hot shit water.
It's suitable for migraines accompanied with stomach pain, unlike typical coffee, due to the low acidity.
Now, I get the low acidity argument. I do like a good cup of brew that doesn't, you know, come back to haunt you.
Here's a Google question. I bet you could answer better than what they're going to say.
Okay.
What does Kopi Luwak taste like? Literally, it tastes like shit.
Well, you know.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but I did.
Well, it really depends on the diet of the cat-like whatever the fuck it was. You know, I'm sure if it had pineapple, it might be a little sweeter. At least that's what I hear. I don't know.
They say smooth, earthy.
Earthy. I like that. Earthy. Yeah, that's kind of a vague term for, smells like shit.
And sweet, with a hint of chocolate.
Just a hint. Just a little hint. Just a smidgen of the chocolate. Yeah, yeah. Smell that again. That ain't chocolate. That's not a hint of chocolate, sir.
Oh, man.
Your chocolate is slightly different than my chocolate. This ain't a Snickers bar. These aren't the type of peanuts on a Snickers bar.
Robin Todd, Kopi Luwak.
Kopi Luwak. Free. Robin Todd. Watch us as our coffee beans, partially digested, passed through our systems and enjoyed for your morning commute.
I thought we were using those civets. It's actually you?
It's actually all me. It okay. really is.
If we had a civet farm, they'd probably have deplorable conditions. So,
seeing how we live ourselves,
actually
yeah.
the most ethical way to do it.
It's more organic. I feel like, you know, it's just part of the cycle of recycling. Kopi Luwak. I like that. I like that name. I wonder where they got that from.
Tastes like chocolate.
Just a hint, though. Just a hint. It's like a afternote.
I got some coffee that filtered through me. It's got this mushroom spore in it. It's yeah. red coffee.
Okay. Interesting.
It's called King of Coffee, actually.
That sounds like a bold statement. Is it a bold brew?
You'll have to try it.
Does it have a hint of chocolate? Because I'm a big fan of the hint of chocolates.
I would bet you it's got low acidity.
Okay, good. That's always a good selling point. Folgers just now started making a low acidity brew, and well, it's about damn time.
It was $60 for 25 servings. I got it because it's supposed to be good for your liver. I mean, it's probably not going to help or anything, but that's why I got it.
I mean, you know, your liver can use all the encouragement it needs, but from my understanding, it does pretty good on its own.
It's Chinese medicine. There's a certain mushroom spore in there.
Huh. Do you feel like it works? Do you feel
no.
like...
I didn't think it gave me a good boost to energy either, but I did think it went down pretty smooth.
Yeah. When I had it, I can't say that it really helped my liver as much as it made me grow twice my size. And the flower you gave me, I started shooting fireballs from my hands. And I don't even want to get into the oak leaf you floated past me. That got weird after that when I grew a tail.
Little break. Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
If you say so.
I just wanted to put that at the very end.
Okay. Hooked on Phonics worked for me, except we didn't call it Phonics. We called it crack. Yeah, I got hooked on Phonics. I got hooked on Phonics real bad. I remember I used to go to a Phonics den and just pass out. I don't even remember the days. They all melted together with the nights. Melting down phonics and spoons, I bent backwards, injecting it into my veins with a plunger. Oh, God.
I remember it like yesterday. I was 5 years old, going to the phonics house.
Yeah, I was six. I was a little older than Rob, so I led the way. That's the last time I ever walked out of that house, an innocent child. I became an abused man from that day forward. Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
All I can think about is Miss Freeman and those piano lessons.
Oh, my God, man. When you first brought that up, it's like stored away in my memory banks, and you just used some secret code to unlock it. It's just like, wow, all these memories came flooding back of having to do piano lessons against my will for 2 years straight. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. You know, what was up with our generation growing up where it seemed like everybody had to take piano lessons at some point in time in their adolescence? It's like it wasn't one of these things where, hey, try an instrument out, pick it out, and if you like it, hey, maybe you'll try and excel in it. We'll get you lessons. No, everyone did piano. Everyone I knew, at least. And they always used her. She had a monopoly on the game in Easley. She was the Staunton piano teacher, and she had territory. And if you invaded on that territory, she let you know, man. She hit those sharp keys, and you paid attention.
Capo Freeman.
She had a small entourage working with her called the B-Sharps. Smooth guys, dressed in tuxes, wore shades.
Bill had a group at Clemson called the B-Sharps, and they kicked them out of their like choral ensembles and stuff. They wouldn't let them perform at their Tiger Roar? No. What's their a cappella groups down there? I don't know.
Anyway, I didn't even know they had, what, like a they had barbershop quartet?
they literally had to meet secretly. The school basically shut them down. They kept it going anyway.
What, Bill and his acapella, his rogue gorilla acapella coup?
The B-Sharps. He has insignias and stuff with that on it at his house and his clothing.
You know, that would explain... Why does Bill really live alone? What's in his attic?
Royal drama. Apparently, Kate Middleton has not been spotted in public for a while. It raised a lot of speculation as to where she's been. someone posted a picture of her not wearing her wedding ring after all that time.
Okay.
Which stirred the pot even more.
Okay, I understand where the gossipers are gossiping, but what's the real story?
Well, the palace at that point came out and said, look, she had surgery, and it's going to be a couple months, and she'll be back. But the gossip hit, like, mainstream news, and so it's hard to... They're having a hard time walking it back, and all of a sudden, it's like Prince William cheated, and it was with this girl named Rose, somebody I can't...
Probably some chick he met on the Titanic.
I don't have it in front of me, but for some reason, there's someone with a Rose in their name that might have been cheating with Prince William. And if that happened, I don't know how they'll ever settle their drama down. It's like the Kardashians at that point, because Prince Harry obviously is like, the royal family just ain't it for me. I'm kind of in, kind of out. I'm not going to be in the same room with William and stuff. It starts to look like, well, maybe William could save the royal prestige. You were saying he might make a good king, but if he gets tarnished by saying he was cheating, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, does that really matter? Because Charles is king now, and didn't he cheat on Diana?
I'm pretty sure he cheated. Yeah, there. I think that.
I thought it was a scandal, though, a tabloid scandal at the time. Like, that's what led to their divorce and stuff. I mean, she was still beloved by the media, but and followed, obviously. But that's what I always thought. I never cared to look up on it.
I guess I'm wrong when I compare those to Kardashians, because Kardashians would get applauded for cheating.
Kardashians are a weird caveat in pop culture and Americana. I don't know if anyone could really compare to them, as unique as their family is, to say the least.
Royal drama.
Why? This may be a stupid question. Maybe there's a great explanation. This is why I ask questions. Why is the royal family still relevant in a time where England is run by a prime minister? This family isn't elected. They're just a bloodline that is distinguished as being royal because they've always been distinguished as being royal. I mean, to me, it's just trivial and stupid. Aside from the fact they have amassed this huge wealth for being distinguished as royal for generations, there's really not much to them. I mean, have they ever had a job? Is their job just being royal? Is that it? Just going places and waving?
You know, the two prince kids went and did the army thing for a little bit to help their love for country visual.
Yeah, but that was just a press tour, let's be honest. They weren't in any real danger, because if they died on the front lines like Joe Schmo Nobody with bad teeth because he's British, it wouldn't matter. But royalty, oh, that's a big deal in England. I just don't know why.
I had a friend who was really a great soccer player. He played in England. And he said the girls over there don't have any teeth. You're right.
Well, I mean, it's one of those stereotypes that happen. I mean, Americans don't have great teeth either. But I think in the history of things, England's older. They've had worse teeth longer.
In their culture, they don't get braces and get them fixed and things like that as much. It's more acceptable. And therefore, there's not as much pressure to maintain that pearly white smile.
Yeah, they'd probably fart in public too and it'd be all right. I'll never get used to that. But yeah, royal drama. There's some bigger news, bigger royal drama. What's the deal with Prince Andrew and his connection to Epstein Island?
I hadn't even heard about that.
Oh, yeah. Google that sometime, man. There's a lot of damning evidence on this guy. To the point to where it's like, okay, if you were to have an honest trial, you never will because he's royal. Again, that's a big deal. Don't know why. But if you ever have an honest trial, he would probably be convicted of statutory rape on more than one count. There's just too many people that have the same story about him with his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein when everything was, you know, smooth and cool with him. Prince Andrew. Check it out.
I was trying not to go into dating. There was this college volleyball player I met at the beach in Wendy's in the line.
And, what a great singles place.
Yeah, and she was from up there in West Virginia playing at the college or whatever, and she had to have me. I mean, she had to have me. And
She had to have me and a Dave's Burger.
Eventually, she coaxed me up there.
How so? Only, how were you coaxed?
Through a instant messenger.
Yeah, it didn't take much, did it?
No, it took a lot.
Oh,
it took
really?
A whole lot, yeah. So anyway, me and Graham went up there, and she kind of had cold feet. It was weird. And her friend, who they kind of had a little argument or falling out, said, well, she's been dating someone else. You know, she just thought she had to have you, but she's been dating this other person. But to roll that back, that's when I was there realizing that mainly people didn't have teeth, but we were around the college, okay? Before we met up with them, me and Graham went to a restaurant, and there were two gorgeous chicks in there. They weren't working. They were eating also.
Okay.
Right. And they approached us. They're like, you guys want to hang out later? They were like pushing us to, I don't know, go out with them.
Be my friend. Come on, do it now.
And me, with as honorable as I was like, nah, I'm here for this other person, and so can't do it. But, you know, had we gone with them, we might have been sold off into the sex trade or something. There's no telling what was really behind
that. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have a woman be forward with me like that. But at the same time, I would be sketchy about it. Because it's just shit like that just doesn't happen to me often. And I get this mental picture of some Eli Roth horror movie. Like, is this like Hostel where you kidnap me and drug me and all of a sudden I got to escape out of this body part factory?
It is kind of odd because they didn't know us. We weren't in a social situation where we had to interact.
Yeah, and it's not like a bar.
Anyway, we didn't go for it. Whole trip went south and it started dumping snow on us and we had a hard time getting back home and everything like that.
Well, just be happy that was the worst part of it.
It was okay. Yeah, end of the day, it was fine. The worst part was Graham had me take a bunch of those stingers from the grocery store.
Yeah, I remember
and
those.
And that's back when they...
Stacker 5s or Stacker 2s, whatever they were.
Those are the ones that they outlawed now.
Yeah.
I guess they had ephedrine or something.
They had something in them where if you took too many, you'd have to go to the hospital. Like
should have gone to the hospital.
Yeah, it was one of these things where you can induce a heart attack.
I didn't know. And so I was having trouble sleeping and it was messing with my emotions and stuff. Her other friend wound up trying to date me on the back end of that, but it was kind of like, you know what, this whole situation is just kind of done for me, so I didn't pursue any of that at that point. That was it. Her friend was pretty cute, though. I can't remember her name. She was, she felt bad for me or something. I don't know. She wanted to date. I was like, nah, it, we're out.
Peace. I'm done. No, we're good. We're good.
The volleyball player from Wendy's checkout line.
Yeah.
She came to our room at the beach. She really tried to sleep with me. She was drunk and things like that.
Okay.
Not taking no for an answer. And that ain't what got me. It was that instant message, Todd. She really worked the text flow over the course of time. I didn't do it with her then. I mean, I was still a virgin. I was holding on to it. I didn't care. I was going to hold on to it.
I didn't know that was so long ago. It seemed more recent.
No, that was forever ago.
So, yeah, I know that now. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have got bamboozled in a situation like that these days. I'm far departed from that. I'm wiser. Maybe not much wiser, but enough not to get into something like that. I'm going to take a break before I open that story wide open. Listener questions. Tyler Harris, you know what? How about a real, truly in-depth talk about religion?
Brother Tyler Harris.
I'm probably going to pass for now.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It has crossed our minds before. But
I debated religion with Alex for 3 hours that one time, and it did not save. That probably would have been a good one.
That would have been what Mr. Harris, whomever that is, what he's...
That's what he's shooting for here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think he would have enjoyed that segment if it actually made it to air. Unfortunately, there was, like you said, a technical issue, and... Needless to say, it was quite disappointing at the end of that session to realize.
God squashed out those seeds of doubt that I might have sown. Well, the thing is, Alex wanted it to publish, too. He thought it was good, too. So it wasn't like...
I mean, you guys were like tag teaming that mic to death. Like, he was turning over him, you were turning over, and I'm just kind of stuck in the middle. Like, I don't think this is for fun and shits and giggles anymore. Well,
we have 4 mics right now, but at the time we had 2. And so Alex and I were sharing a mic. Todd had to have his own mic.
I didn't realize it was going to turn to a ping pong match, or else I would have given mine to Alex. I think he was sitting next to me at the time.
Fernando Hernandez.
Ah, Mr. Hernandez, a former guest.
Of Rob and Todd fame.
Yes, and fellow Ghostbuster fan.
He says, AI, cover it again. We did talk about that with him. We talked about it a little bit before. We've talked about it since, but okay, let's cover it again. They're doing a lot of deep fakes, and there's some risk in that. I know I've seen myself all types of places that I never actually was.
I'm still not impressed with it. Like, people fearing it, I still feel like we're so far away from that. We've gotten the equivalent to a Mad Lib version of AI, where you plug something in, it takes that, makes it to whatever it is, and then spits it back out at you. There's nothing cognitive about that. It's a simple computer command that's very elaborate. At risk of oversimplifying it, it's the same as just a simple computer command.
It could get pretty smart, though. Right now, it's not. We tried to use it for some graphics, and it did terrible. And eventually, it did print out our profile picture and space station that we used, but it wasn't the first attempt.
It's just not... There's no creativity to it. There's no personality to it. There's no real autonomous features about it, other than...
Spoiler alert, those pictures that I posted of, quote, Berea, South Carolina, those were actually AI-generated.
Oh, I thought so, but that's wonderful. They think Berea's so pretty. See that what I'm talking about? If it were a real computer, if this was like the T-1000 off of Terminator, then yeah, it would be like, oh, Berea's a shithole. It wouldn't be showing you all these green pastures with ice sweet tea. That's more like Pickens. If we told AI, hey, describe Pickens, and it came back with that, I'd be like, okay, now you got some thinking and computer here.
Where is AI really excelling?
I think a lot of people are scared of it because what it can do for entertainment industry, as far as making music, as far as making movies, in the sense of, you know, you don't need background sets anymore. AI can create that.
That NVIDIA stock, I think they're AI-based company, and they've got a lot of hype, and the stock has done really well over the course of time. I know someone that made a lick on that, and so there's some AI news, but I mean...
Tyler Perry has halted his expansion on his Atlanta studio. He was going to add, I think, 13 sound stages, but he completely stopped that once he saw what they can do right now, as of today, technologically, for the movie industry. And he's like, we don't need set builders anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, unions are going to push back on this, but the technology is here. The necessity isn't.
Well, it didn't work out real good for Mark Zuckerberg when he took the big AI push and tried to do the metaverse, but
yeah,
in the long run, it might work out for him. He got a little ahead of himself. I think he had too much. It's like when you go to a casino. When you're winning, you think you can't lose, and then you do.
And then you realize, wow, the point, you know, what brought you to the point of winning in the first place was stupid luck. That's the way I view Facebook. It was a great idea and a great application at a time where there was a vacuum, I guess a need for something like that after MySpace. And he happened to fill it. That doesn't make you a genius. That makes you extremely lucky and very good at coding. So, yeah, the whole metaverse, I think, was a stupid idea to begin with, because I think he took his ego from the success of Facebook and applied it to, well, what if people want to join this entire ecosystem I create through Facebook? People don't like you enough to enter your world, sir. They don't even want you in their world, okay? I don't mean to sound mean, but that's the truth. People don't like this guy. So why the hell are they going to go into your universe? You know who should have their own universe? Tom Hanks. He's a nice guy. Everyone likes Tom Hanks. They don't hate Tom Hanks if they don't like him. They're kind of Tom Hanks neutral. That's the type of guy you want to go into the universe of.
Tell you what, Fernando, come back on the show. We'll get into AI again. We'll prepare for once in our lives with some specific examples.
Well, I'm curious to see what he's aiming towards there. What his, you know, where did that suggestion come from?
I don't know. He's sweating afterward. The last time we brought it up, we were talking about AI porn. which I think is ridiculously stupid.
I was about to say,
but somebody's buying it.
Well, I mean, it's cheap. There's low overhead, so I mean, maybe you can offer it at a cheaper price at a higher profit margin. But aside from that, yeah, it doesn't seem like we've ever had a shortage of porn to need AI to fill that gap.
Potentially, Andrew Tate got rich off of running a porn company. What is it? Webcam? They had a compound where they were running webcams, and that's what he's...
prisony when you say compound.
I know. He claims, and his brother claims, that the whole sex trafficking thing came up from them giving advice on how to become popular on TikTok, and that was the case that Romania threw at them.
When you say that even some of your supporters have questions about your webcam business, what is that? What does that mean?
So I'm glad you asked that, because I'd actually like to clear this up. Andrew is a Muslim and I'm a Christian.
In a previous life, me and my brother used to run a streaming company, essentially, where pretty girls would stream online and talk to dudes online. You know, there was some nudity involved. And it was a studio, essentially. The girls worked for my company. They had contracts to work for my company. They got paid very, very well. And people were like, they were involved in that business where they recruited women. Is that what they're investigating for the human trafficking allegations? No. No, no, no. The human trafficking charges filed against me because they called the women who used to work for me. Yeah, great boss. I made some money. My life has moved on. And they hung up the phone on the police. The charges are that in 2021, I recruited friends of mine by brainwashing them to steal their TikTok money. If the police could have found a link between anything illegal and any business I've run, from my webcam studio to any company I've ever run, they would have put it in the case file. It simply does not exist.
So that's not connected at all
not
to the church?
Not at all. The webcam studio was shut 4.5 years before I allegedly started this kidnapping gang. So they're not connected.
You do not run a web business now?
No, absolutely not. And also, none of the alleged victims are girls who've ever worked at my streaming company in the past. There's zero connection at all. But I get why well-intentioned fans of mine will be like, oh, well, he was talking about this business he used to run. Was he trafficking those people? That's a very fair question. It's a very fair question. But there is no connection at all. And the case file will eventually come out. The charges and what I'm accused of will come out. Is there any money that's been made in the case file? $1 from illicit activities, even from TikTok that reached my bank account? Is that in the case file? No.
So you guys don't make money from TikTok, even though...
No, I mean, we have people who put ourselves on TikTok to kind of spread our own message. Do we directly or indirectly make money from promoting ourselves on TikTok? Maybe. That's not human trafficking. Did I traffic myself? Is Andrew trafficking himself? No, but we make no money from TikTok, and we make no money from anyone streaming on TikTok. And I certainly wouldn't need, I don't know how much TikTok influencers make, but I certainly wouldn't need to brainwash people to steal amounts of money like that. You know, do they make $100 million? All right, let's get into the brainwashing business, me and you. Let's go. There's money to be made. But that's simply not the case, is it? So to believe that these charges are true, you have to understand that I'm already a father. I'm already a retired sportsman. I'm already a public figure. I'm very well known. 1 million plus followers on Instagram. The whole world knows who I am. Now's the time to risk it all and start brainwashing and kidnapping people for money from TikTok. That's what you have to believe my thought process was. And I may seem unorthodox or unconventional to people who may speak to me, but I don't think I come across as insane. And you'd have to be insane to do that. It doesn't even make any sense.
You're accused of kidnapping as well?
Well, when they first put me in jail, the word kidnapping was used on the news all the time.
Yeah.
The official charges now say coercion. So being nice to people. That's what's in the charges. I'm nice to people. And that's how I've kidnapped them, one way or another.
But you're not accused, and I'm speaking specifically of the accusations. You're not accused of locking someone in your basement or
so
physically holding someone captive.
This house is allegedly the crime headquarters of my criminal organization. If this TV were on, if you were to walk into this room and look at my TV, I have CCTV cameras all over the house. That was the first thing the police took. And when they took it, I said, thank God. Guys, watch this and let me go. It's done. You have a year of footage. Every angle of my house besides the bedrooms, the entrances, the exits, the gates in and out, everything that happens by the pool, in this living room, you find any illegal activity there. Good, yeah, lock me up. But the fact that nothing that they could put in the case file contains zero of my CCTV images. Zero. Not one. So they took that, watched the whole year of my life, and said, this isn't relevant, and threw it out. But the fact that that's absent of any crime, if I had a friend who sniffed cocaine on this table, that would be in the case file. If a girl tried to leave once during a heated argument, and I'd closed the door and done this on camera, that would be in the case file.
And so, you're sure there's no footage from within inside your house?
The police have it all. I have it all backed up. I might just release it to the whole world, but then people will know too much of my business. But I could release the footage. It'll be the world's most boring TV show. It's people sitting around here, talking, smoking cigars, having fun, watching TV, watching movies. They saw all of this. That CCTV evidence, whether they send me to jail or not, exonerates me. Imagine you're a criminal running a drug smuggling ring, for example. The last thing you do, one, is put cameras that record every move you make everywhere to record your criminal activity. But two, if you were guilty of drug smuggling or whatever they accuse you of, or innocent of drug smuggling, that camera footage would either condemn you or exonerate you. And that's not included in my case file. A whole year of CCTV from every single angle. I'll show you the cameras afterwards. Amazing. You'll laugh. You'll laugh. It's funny.
So you said you would never sue the government of Romania.
Never, ever.
But
they need the money more than me.
But it's news organizations that have called you a human trafficker,
yep.
implied that you're a pimp or
yep.
a white slaver or whatever. You know, yeah. you had sold human beings.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have to be dealt with in a legal way. I don't want anyone to misinterpret that as a threat. But essentially, the answer is this. I was asked by a friend, do you think you'll get justice? And I said, well, you think if they drop this now and just say you're free to go, that's justice? After what my family have suffered, after my daughter suffered, after me being locked up in a prison, after me being deprived liberty in my house, the damage it's done to my business, my international reputation, my mother, these two women. You think if they drop it now, that's justice? No. God is the ultimate arbiter of justice, and he will make sure that I do get justice, and I will have justice. But this case file disappearing is just the beginning. How is that just? 1 year and a half I've been labeled a human trafficker. They've been calling me a human trafficker for a year and a half. When you have a daughter who's 2 and a half, and she's banging on the door, screaming to go outside and play with the other kids, but you know you can't let her go outside because if she does, the other kids take their parents in. The other parents take their kids in. She has no friends. I bought her a dog. She's crying her eyes out. She used to be able to play with the kids in the neighborhood. Now she can't. What about her? Is it justice to drop this file now? No, people will have to pay. Legally. Don't cut this up and say I'm making threats to anyone. People will have to pay. And they will have to suffer the consequences of the legal system. And I also believe that you can't do such an evil thing to people without suffering some type of retribution from the Almighty. So, good luck to them, and I hope they can sleep at night, because I wouldn't be able to.
That might be true, but there's something out of the UK where they got detained again this week. Romania detained them because the UK wanted that, and the judge threw it out for now. Or the Romanian judge brought them in, reviewed it, and they're like, nah, we ain't going to hold them on this. So they let them back out, and of course they made a statement, and their statement basically says, hey, we're innocent, and we've maintained our innocence. So, and the judge would have held us if we weren't.
I'm very happy about what happened today. Essentially, a Romanian judge saved us. It looks like the United Kingdom wanted, because they now have accused me of doing something 12 years ago, for the Romanians to keep me in prison here until my trial. And the judge saw through it. She saw what this was. She saw it was just an attack vector. She knows I've complied with the courts and the police every single step of the way. And she quite rightfully said, no. She said, if this investigation in England, it's not a case, it's not a charge, it's an investigation. She said, if the investigation in England is still going on when this process ends, then we'll send you to England. If. And that was the completely correct call. So Romanian justice and Romanian judges continue to set me free and continue to keep making the correct decisions, and I'm extremely happy.
What are you going to do next?
The UK's got some beef with them. You know, they banned them. You can't even talk about the guy in school.
It's the same thing with Jesus. Can't bring God into school. Can't bring Andrew Tate into school. We need an old Bible redemption, Robert. Did I bring back any adolescent memories there?
Not really. So Andrew Tate, you can lock him up. He's going to live on through AI.
Well, he's going to live on because anytime people lock up, it's like Donald Trump when they locked him up and tried to make a martyr out of him. That's the way people view him that support him. They don't change their minds about him. If anything, they support him with more fervor because they view him as a victim now, a bigger victim than before.
Andrew Tate's kind of like us. He'll make some really good points. And then he'll say some stuff that's going to offend most people. And it depends on how you take him. And a lot of people take him in a way that they really like him. And then some are just like, I can't believe he said that. He sucks.
Well, he's got a Rush Limbaugh kind of persona about him, I noticed. Like, I don't think that's the real Andrew Tate we see 99% of the time. That's a persona either he created or the internet created that he bought into. I don't know. But he's kind of got like a Rush Limbaugh disposition about him when he talks about certain issues and the way he criticizes them. Especially when it comes to a punchline or a shtick. You know how like Rush Limbaugh would be you know, ostracized and criticized for saying something about poor people, but it'd be a part of a shtick. Granted, you know, you could still hold them to the coals on that, but it's not like, I feel like some people didn't get the joke, so it seemed more sinister than what it was.
BB's closed over in Greenville. They had that lunch special called the Rush Limbaugh.
What was that?
Like a double cheeseburger. They actually had multiple politicians and figures that were in politics. So it wasn't just Rush Limbaugh.
They had
combos named. You probably could have got a JFK over there. I'm not sure what it was.
I need a JFK like a hole in the head. Hey! I imagine the double cheeseburger bit be more Bill Clinton style, at least in the 90s. You know, for some reason, I see George W. Bush after some fish sticks. George W. Bush fish stick platter. It comes with fries and hush puppies.
We can make it a copy of their menu online because they just recently closed.
I never went there, but I always drove past it. I remember seeing a little B on the sign.
When I was in automotive school, we sometimes go for lunch. That's how I was introduced to the place.
Yeah.
If you went through the drive-thru, the guy was, gosh, I don't want to guess his nationality. He'd come on the speaker. He'd say, "Welcome, B's order, please."
I'd say Hispanic.
Yeah, well, he'd basically say, "Welcome, B's," not "Welcome to B's." Mm-hmm. "Welcome, B's order, please." He'd say it super fast.
I know, it's kind of got a ring to it. "Welcome, B's order, please."
And if you weren't sure what he was saying, you might just hear, "Welcome, B's, please."
I tell you, nothing beats the Beacon with the call it.
I've never been to the Beacon. World famous Beacon. I've never been.
It's not as near as good as it was back when the original owner was alive and running it.
That's always the way.
It really is. But I'm talking like drastic changes. Like the first big one that ruined it for a lot of locals was the fact they chose to be open on Sundays after his death. Chick-fil-A can prove that that's more lucrative not to be open on Sundays, but Beacon saw it different. Man, I think they changed the recipe to like their tea and lemonade too. It just doesn't seem as good as it was. But the dude who... the blind dude who kept on calling out the orders. I don't see how people in the kitchen understood him. It's like, I want a double chili cheeseburger with bacon aplenty. Aplenty means half and half, fries and onion rings. The only thing I'd understand out of that man's mouth was double chili cheeseburger. The rest of it was aplenty. And I'm just like, you know, what if someone just ordered fries? What would he say?
Well, the place has been on a lot of Food Channel shows, things like that. Presidents go there usually when they're campaigning. But they really don't have anything on the Loki Moki.
Tell me about the Loki Moki. It sounds like a honky-tonky. Sell me on it. What we got here?
We were just talking about that coffee earlier. It's Loki something.
Oh, I thought it was a place. It should be. Where are you going?
Okay, I'll explain it.
I'm going to the Loki Moki.
Loki is the first word in that type of coffee we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And Moki is a play on words of mocha, which is commonly a flavoring option for coffee.
But Starbucks has ruined that for people. People think it's a drink. It's like when you go to Dunkin' Donuts and you want a mocha, you want a chocolate. What the hell? What do you want, a latte, cappuccino? You just ordered a chocolate.
I'd like to change the name of that coffee to Kopi Moki. It's Kopi Luwak. I was thinking...
That sounds like some Kopi. Prime minister somewhere. It's like, oh, Kopi Luwak. Yes, the prime minister of whatever, Saskatchewan.
You know how I got tongue twisted on that? It's kind of like Stamey Flowens versus Flamey Stowens. I'm not really sure that guy's name. Is it Stamey? Flowing.
I think it's Spanky Owens. Spanks is what people call him.
Kopi Moki. Luwak. The Luwakians. People that are really addicted.
Little break.
Little break. Jeremy Harding. Strongest man on earth.
Jeremy.
He might actually be 6'6", like I said.
Yeah.
But Barron Trump still has an inch on him.
Well, you're kind of splitting hairs when you're talking that tall. It's not like I'm going to be judging from way down here. 6'2".
Jeremy simply asked us to talk about family foundations.
He needs a little foundation.
Sure what that means, but let me tell you about the odd couple. Jeremy's a super Republican, black guy, who was, in my definition, he's basically was an orphan. Didn't know his dad. Mom died at a young age. Didn't have relatives, which is actually how I met him. One of my other roommates' family had connection to him. They kind of let him live with them for a little while, and they went to the same school or something. But
you know, if you taught him how to fight, he could become a Batman based on his bio.
Oh, he's right there.
Yeah.
Orphan black guy. I mean, a black kid that grew up. He's a Republican, strong, big time.
Yeah.
His wife is super liberal. White girl.
There's a lot of, they say opposites attract. I don't know if they last, but they definitely do attract. That's not the only couple I've heard that are complete opposites on the political spectrum there. I don't see how they make a relationship work based on certain issues and stances, but if they can, more power to them.
They fight over, like, guns. I mean, he practically has to have a gun for his job, but she doesn't want him to have them at the house, but he does.
It's a Starbucks, okay? No one's going to come in and rob it. And seriously, it sticks out on your apron, okay? It's kind of a distraction.
But I haven't heard him complain. He takes it all in stride, but he's a really positive person overall anyway.
Yeah.
You can hit him with some bad stuff. He's going to stay positive. So.
Well, good, good. That's always a good mentality.
I super appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
Because even if it's not realistic, I could call him up and get a really optimistic take on anything that's going on. And sometimes that's what you need. It's not always the fix. Sometimes you need that realism, but the optimism can help.
Well, yeah, mind over matter, man. No matter how bad a situation is, if you can get your mind into that that headspace of hope and optimism, no matter how bad the situation is, it won't seem quite as bad.
I've got an acquaintance from Austin, Texas, Josh MacArthur, who decided at some point that since 95% of workplaces are toxic, and that's my figure, that's not his.
Mostly waste treatment plants, but yeah, continue.
He worked at the same hospital system I did, but he was an accountant. He was like, this place is toxic, I'm out. He actually works at the coffee place. Don't you love how that ties in?
Yeah. I'm glad you did this just for me.
Yeah, no. Oh, man. But he's a counselor now.
Oh.
And he's basically he's a business consultant, yes. But his focus is on interpersonal environment, the work environment. He theorizes that if you can improve that, the company will be a better place.
I'd like to offer a little bit of advice that people seem to neglect or just never discover for themselves. When it comes to making your workplace work for you, just be concerned with yourself. When you start concerning yourself with other people and their situations, things get a little mucky.
But if you are a little bit concerned with the overall picture, call Josh. He's the consultant for this type of thing. He also does, I guess it's he could be like a personal coach or something, but he doesn't sell himself that way. I see so many people that sell themselves as a lifestyle coach or a personal development and growth type coaching service that they offer. He doesn't call it that. He does want to know some things. And he wants to analyze that on his end and give you some great tips. He's pretty good. I don't talk to him too much, but when I do, he's got great ideas. I will say that. Even if you only focus on one or two things, he'll pick a couple things out and he'll say, like, next time we talk, see if those two can improve.
It's almost like a life coach. Yeah. Guidance counselor kind of thing. Like, okay, we're going to work on these things, and the next time we reconvene, we'll see how much progress you made, okay?
Tell you what, everyone can see what he calls himself, because I'm going to post a link to his website.
Da-da-da-da. You now get sanctioned by Robin Todd. We will promote your website. Congratulations. This is an honor not many, if anyone else, has ever had.
Not sure we ever have.
And we have
We've
never
tagged
had.
People, but we have not linked into their website.
No, we have not promoted straight from the source.
See, now I'm questioning myself, what does he really do? Because I know him as a friend and a co-worker. He worked at the YMCA when I did. He worked at Austin Diagnostic Clinic. And now he works for coffee place. He's an accountant. But his passion was more helping people navigate what work has become.
His passion is now more letters than numbers now. As an accountant, you're kind of surrounded by numbers. He's fiending for the letters now. He could use a little break from all the numbers.
That is an astute observation.
Think about that, man. 9 to 5, you're crunching numbers all day. What you would do to read a book or something. I can only imagine.
If I was any more intellectual, I would call you Captain Obvious on that. But I didn't really think about it, so you're not Captain Obvious.
You know, in my walk of life, I kind of am. For some reason, when I was a manager at Chick-fil-A, the majority of people that were under me were, you know, college-age kids in school, and the majority majored in accounting. It was uncanny. Like, I knew we need accountants. That's a job. That's a good, secure field. Sure, sure. But I'm talking, like, in my career at Chick-fil-A, 24? That's ballparking it? I'd say at least 20. 20 kids that went into accounting and actually graduated with a degree. We got a lot of accountants in Greenville. That's all I got to say. But never thought it was such a popular major. Some people just love numbers. I am not one. I can assure you that. And I'm not too keen on letters either. And if you put them together, that's algebra. And that's some bullshit.
Letters. Words. There should be a synonym for thesaurus. If you look up thesaurus in the thesaurus, it needs to say something.
It probably does. Probably says, "F*** you, smartass." I would do that if I was a thesaurus publisher. I would just, you know, have a little fun with it. Like, I'm just waiting for some smartass to look up thesaurus. There's going to be some kid in some classroom that wants to, you know, be the funny guy. I got something waiting for him.
2024 editions, which most of our listeners probably haven't seen, but if you get a brand new thesaurus and you look up thesaurus, there is actually a picture of Josh MacArthur.
I got a thesaurus guy if you need the hookup on any 2024 thesauruses. Straight from the printers. Got all the pages. 100% pure. Ain't chopped up with that dictionary bullshit.
You know, I talked to someone who actually thought that the Tyler Harris Institute for Broadcast Journalism is a real thing.
You mean it's not? You mean the degree I have is bullshit? Nah, I don't believe it. Not for a second. Those classes I took were hell.
They told me, well, you went to school for it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You've decided to make a career out of it. You went to school. Like, when we first started, I even said we were in the class of... Did I say we were 2024?
I think so, maybe. I don't recall. I'll be honest with you. I honestly do not know.
The prestigious institution that it is.
I'll never forget the bus that's, as you walk in the entrance, of Tyler Anderson Harris, the founder of the institution. Interesting looking fella. To say the least. Not exactly sure what his nationality is, but it's a unique one.
Dune. You watched the movie in Vegas and something called a D-Box. Supposed to be a 4D experience. The seat moves. It has speakers in the seat. Was that true or is that a lie?
It might have had speakers in the seat, but it wasn't that big of an effect. I saw Dune Part 2. Great movie, by the way. I kind of like Dune 1 a little bit better, though. But as far as the vastness of the shots and the cinematography and the special effects and all that, Dune 2 had it beat. I just thought Dune 1 had a little bit more intriguing storyline of how everything developed.
The crazy thing is, I powered through Dune 1 just in case I wanted to see Dune 2.
Yeah.
I did not like Dune 1.
There's some people that are like that. I honestly didn't like the original Dune. I never gave a shit about it. I watched it and was like, Sting is a bad guy? Okay. Maybe in the 80s.
There was a couple parts in it where it almost got interesting, and yeah, it just fell apart for me again.
You got to be a big fan of the source material, I think. But I like the remake of Dune much better than the original. For starters, I thought they had a great plan with separating it into two movies, because another fault of the original one is they try to put way too much story in not that long of a movie.
Have you seen a movie simply entitled Anna, where she's a Russian spy, but yet the CIA also gets her?
I've heard of it,
and
I believe.
She's trying to work her way out of the way they have her cornered.
Who stars in that?
I don't know. Her
name? I don't think I have seen it. If I have, I don't remember it by title alone.
I don't know why I thought about that, but give that one a chance, because I do like that movie. There's an example of something I like.
You know, on the flight to Vegas, I watched Gran Turismo. It was okay. About halfway through it, you knew what type of movie it was and then where it was generally going. But overall, I thought it was good. If you're into racing films and stuff, it's not as corny as maybe the previews make it seem.
That Anna movie, what they do is they'll show the scene and you're like, wow, that was a twist. Then they walk you back 6 months or something that shows it what led up to it. So although you were watching things progress.
Yeah, I like that storytelling.
It goes back and shows you the pieces that you didn't see the first time through.
It's a very effective tool style used for a big reveal, which I'm assuming it has.
It's got a lot of layers to it. Raising Cane's Chicken, you went in Vegas finally.
Finally.
And I heard you went 3 times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I heard so much about it from you and this show, so I thought, you know what? I'm obliged to do this. I think I'm going to stop in and get some chicken. I got the
Caniac.
The Caniac, yeah. The 6 fingers, fries, toast, and an extra order of fries and sauce.
There is a high probability, there's a 70% forecast that a Caniac with 3 extra buns will land directly into my passenger seat.
It's a simple menu. It's a simple concept.
Very much, yeah.
But they use good chicken, and that makes all the difference.
And it's good seasoning. It's good breading. I like the crunchiness of it. It's kind of got like the Popeyes crunch to it without all the coating on it, or at least the ones I had didn't have that much coating. But it seemed like it was always fresh. I like the crinkle-cut fries because the sauce actually clung on to the ridges.
Okay.
And the toast was a great way to end it. The buttery Texas toast they have. It reminded me of Spaghetti Day in elementary school.
I don't like their coleslaw, but I don't really care. I'm going for the chicken. Trade the slaw for more sauce. They use tenderloin cuts, so there's 2 per chicken. The rest of the chicken goes to something else.
They just incinerate it. They're very wasteful.
I cut my hair. It was ruining my life.
Oh, that's not good.
Carrie wanted me to grow it out, and so I was, and I threw
it
in the towel.
So she could pull on it.
My mom, as soon as she saw my hair was cut, she's like, your hair looks good. I'm like, yeah.
You were like,
I'm not sure why she was having me grow that out.
Did you ask her?
Well, she said it looked good, but it was, to me, it looked stupid.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far with your analysis, but yeah, I mean, it probably looked best with shorter hair. I'll give you that. I'm not going to say you look stupid. Hey, Robert, you look like shit. Cut your hair.
I mean, if you didn't have anything to do but be an auto mechanic all day, you'd be okay. But what happened to me is I would have to go to public events and things. Like, they had a meal at the church, and I'm like, okay, if I wear a hat, people are going to think I'm wearing a hat in the house of the Lord, but I wore a hat anyway.
Just say you're Jewish.
I don't know the Jewish rules. They got a special.
Yeah, that's okay. They probably don't either. Just take stereotypes. It'll get you through. It's not like you're going to church in a synagogue. They're not going to grill you on it. Just tell them, hey, I'm different. It's a sin to show God the top of your hair. There you go.
My cousin married a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And at the Christmas get-together a couple years ago, I said, well, a real big holiday for you guys is Easter, right? I said it real serious, and he thought I was just a dumbass. I thought he would know I was joking, and maybe that's not something to joke about, but he thought I was just a dumb redneck. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, you know.
If you're listening, and I know you might be, I was just playing around.
Yeah, man.
I can't even say much more. We'll get canceled.
I just assumed we already were.
We are. YouTube now has an option where they're linked into RSS.
I thought you were going to say, like, canceled? Not canceled? We can toggle it.
Well, you can now load your RSS feed to YouTube automatically. You don't have to put a video with it. It makes its own video. And I believe it just uses your cover photo, although I haven't tried it. It might do more. But instead of going to YouTube and that laborious upload process, it will link in and do that automatically. But we can't, because we will get canceled from YouTube, period, end of story. And it wouldn't take long. Someone's going to hear something, report it, and that's it.
I never liked the whole reporting feature. That just seems too much like tattletaling. Did they really want to do that? Just, I don't know, just squawk about other people to an unknown entity that's eventually going to, I don't know, give us a slap on the wrist? I don't understand people. I really don't.
I'd like to do it, because our YouTube's freaking ridiculous. It's all peanut gallery. Like, hey, how can we get a few subscribers? Well,
some people like peanuts.
The videos we just voice overdubbed of the bear and the guy with the trash truck.
Yeah, it's just fun.
12,000 views, and we gained like 30 followers apiece. And our YouTube's basically dead. We haven't done much with it. But if we did more, we would have to do more Peanut Gallery to get anybody to give a damn.
I guess people just want to laugh.
I'm good with it. It's just that, you know, we can't take much of a serious tone. So for those out there that think we're just...
Listen, if you want to take an issue, go to literally any other podcast. Because, like, we take a serious tone with a huge grain of salt. It's just like... It's not going to describe us who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. We don't want to be put in a box or anything. We do it because it's either relevant to the topic at hand, or perhaps it's entertaining and funny to us to some degree. And that's really the best way to sum up our YouTube channel or anything we really do. If it's entertaining and funny to us, we'll do it and post it.
Yeah, well, I love the way our audio episodes have gone lately. Those, to me, are great, and we're getting good feedback. We're getting more listens than we've ever gotten.
Again, with the clip picks, I just have to say this. Stop. Okay, stop. It's embarrassing. I get them at work now. People are talking. Stop, women, with your just obligatory, unsolicited clip picks. I don't want to make a thing about that. That's all I wanted to say.
To get an effective clip blocker on your phone that blocks all things related, it's like $100 a month. Yeah. I know you're not going to spend that right now.
Well, some of the clits I hear are getting through. Like, there's clit hackers, the clats, they call them. They can get through that firewall.
I like to cover serious topics. We love to throw in humor. Our disconnect from gaining a super huge following really quickly is it's so easy to misunderstand us, because that listener says, what are these people? They have to be right-wing, or they have to be left-wing, or they have to be super religious, and they're looking for that label that they've seen so many other places, which label belongs to you, and they just know that they're going to slap one of those labels on you, and we just don't. I mean, we're not any of those things.
I don't like being slapped unless I want it and pay for it.
And that's originally what we set out to be, a little bit different. We don't. I can't take a party line, hook, line, and sinker. I literally ride the fence by splitting issues, and that pisses people off. At some point,
just can't put an accurate label on us. But you know, people, like I said before, people are going to think what they're going to think, because they don't need facts, they don't need proof, they just need the belief. And a lot of people don't need that much to believe things.
One pat on the back, we've done good at not being one of those things that people are so used to, where they're looking for a regurgitation of what they already watch or listen to. We stomped out a new path.
We've laid the gravel, paved new roads. We walk so you can run.
Our listens, I would look 5-10 a day. Next thing you know, boom, 10 times.
Yeah, we run so you can run faster or whatever.
Used to, no one would go back and listen to our old episodes, and now it's as if everybody does. It's so weird, because the analytics show you only so much. Either people are searching out and finding individual episodes and then not listening to anything else, or they are binging. And it comes in waves to the point I think they are binging.
I'd binge us. I'd binge the fuck out of us. It was a Thursday. Meanwhile, on a Thursday,
we had 65 listens after 1 hour. And I thought, what are they doing? Listening to one episode? Nope. It was spread out amongst 10 different episodes.
And we invite you to do the same thing. A lot of hidden gems there, but you gotta sift through the stuff to find them.
It's got to be those Sunday school classes just finding out about us.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Glad you made it back from Vegas.
Thanks, Delta. Good flight.